Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Panic. Justin, we are doing our June mailbag. We do one mailbag a month in the offseason, besides draft month, obviously. How are you doing?
Hey, Bobby Skinner, it's always great to see you. Always great to see you, always great to speak to you. I kind of like mailbag episodes. I'm liking them in the offseason because it gives us a chance to talk about some different things. I like to hear what people are thinking. You know, I think about this football team kind of every day because I think we kind of have to. So it's nice to hear what other people are thinking, what they want to hear. So I'm doing good. How are you? You're in a spot right now between your Nets. I think your body's hurting you. So I think you're in a spot right now.
Well, my ribs still hurt.
Sorry.
Which is funny because I went to the store with my brother today. And we were just cutting up, and I was laughing the hardest I laughed in a while, and it was physically hurting me because of my ribs. You know, laughing. I mean, it was killing me.
I was on the phone today, and you were fighting somebody in Walmart. You said
no. It was you know how Walmart has the thing that goes around like waxes the floor or whatever.
Sure.
We were testing that thing out, making sure it doesn't run us over or anything.
Ah, good.
And then it just got it. So there's these things called sandhill cranes, these big, tall birds in Florida that don't move. Like, they won't move. They are not afraid of you. And so this one was standing by this old lady's car, and she's like, I thought she was, like, afraid of it and, like, couldn't get in her car because of it. And so I walk up, and I was like, do you need any help? Like, I'll scare this bird away if you need. And she's like, no, it's okay. I was taking a picture. So, but my brother was just like, what if you just went up and just like strangled that bird in front of her or like cursed it out to get away? And I just went into a laughing fit and it hurt. So my ribs hurt and the Nets, we are recording this before game six, but game five, I haven't had that kind of emotions for a sporting event in a long time is all I'll say.
People get irrationally angry that you wear a Nets hat, that you are a Nets fan simply because it's different from what they think.
I replied to, we put out a tweet of Patrick Graham talking at the Mets game.
Sure.
You know, and I made a very sarcastic tweet of like, I'm not mentally stable, so him being at a game of a team I'm not a fan of enrages me. And some people were like, well, that's how we feel with the Nets. It's like, that's the point I'm trying to make. Who cares?
There you go. Uh-huh. Ding.
That was the point I'm making. We have one new Patreon. His name is The Coldest Alexander. Wow. I don't know if that's his birth name.
Rooting for it to be.
How is the coldest part of the hottest Patreon?
Whoa, like that dichotomy. The Coldest Alexander went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. $2 a month. It's gonna get pretty hot and steamy on the Patreon coming up. You know, it's gonna be summer. We're gonna be doing some PPPs. Training camp's gonna be getting started. So all of that you're gonna be able to see. Besides PPPs, we don't stream the PPPs, correct?
No.
So sorry. You know, maybe we can do unlisted and we can put them on Patreon a little early.
Sure.
Patreon.com/talkinggiants. $2 a month, you get some fun perks. Bobby will send you a magnet. 2 times a month, we do a shirt raffle. You have a chance to win a Talking Giants shirt. Thank you to our patrons. We love you.
All right, Justin, before we get into the mailbag, the Giants announced that they will have full capacity fans.
Yes.
And no masks. No, you don't need a vaccine. You don't need a negative test. And they're having reverse ATM so they can go cashless.
I am a pretty big cash person.
Straight
now,
cash
I've also,
me.
I've that, also.
I, when had, I went to the Cheez-It Bowl, I went to go get some, like, I brought cash with me to like use cash and I couldn't use it.
But I'm also not a person who buys anything in MetLife Stadium. Maybe I'll buy a Gatorade. Maybe I'll buy a soda, a water, but that's it. I have never bought food
What I don't like about MetLife, when I went to the game in 2019, at halftime, I went to go buy a beer, and so I'm in the line, and the third quarter like just started. I get to the front, and they're like, "We don't sell beer in the second half. Once the third quarter kicks off, we don't sell beer."
Yeah, it's tough. No.
Come on, New Jersey, get with the times.
That was a 1 o'clock game too. Wasn't even like a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, like come on, let me have a third quarter beer. I need it. All right. Cool. We're having fans there.
Yes.
No, it really takes off. Give us the training camp schedule. That's what I am asking for.
Boom.
All right. Let's send it to Steve. Mail time.
Mail time. The mail's here. Come on. Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, let's get into the mail.
First question is coming from Enter Name Here at Enter Name Here 33. Had you guys been the GM and we were on the clock at 20 again, who would each of you have taken? I think my pick would have been JOK or Darrisaw, but I love Kadarius Toney as well.
Yeah, so I'll just stick with what I wanted at the time, was Quiddy Pay. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Quiddy Pay, but I really did. I was a big Quiddy Pay fan. We needed Edge, and they got Edge. And the wide receivers that would have been there, even like trading down the 50, you do the same trade, go down the 50. De'Ami Brown and Terrace Marshall Jr. were two wide receivers I liked a lot. So if to me, I would have liked that combo of Quiddy Pay and De'Ami or Terrace. More so, who I do think were the next two. Well, those two and Dwayne Eskridge, who I liked a lot, were the next three receivers. Eskridge, I don't think I would have taken Eskridge in the second round, or at least at 50. So I would have probably went Quiddy Pay. But with that, and this is why we were kind of intrigued with Kadarius Toney, and we didn't talk about him much before the draft, is that he does things that a lot of guys can't do. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like Terrace Marshall and De'Ami Brown are those traditional outside receivers, where Kadarius Toney is a risky pick, but he does a lot of things that most guys can do. Like, he does things that De'Ami Brown, Terrace Marshall, flat out can't do. So, that's why it was like, was it what I would have picked? No, but it's extremely exciting, high risk, high reward pick.
Yeah, Bateman's another contested catch king that was in terms of a wide receiver that was there. Elijah Moore and who went to Arizona? Rondell Moore. So those are some of the receivers that went off the board immediately right after, and not even counting like pick 50. So I think Toney makes the most sense in terms of wide receivers. I mean, Bateman would have made the most sense in terms of just a conventional wide receiver, but Bobby wasn't a big fan of Bateman, and we didn't really look at Bateman all that much. I would have been most excited with JOK. I would have been most excited in terms of the best athlete that's on the board. I don't know why he fell, if there was some sort of issue and we didn't know, and maybe we forgot it from draft weekend, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I would have been most excited by JOK, because I think that was the most exciting player that was kind of on that board. Or Darrisaw. Darrisaw would have fit a need in terms of the offensive lineman.
Right. Man, when they traded down to 20, that really put me like, oh my God, I did not prepare for this.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it's at 11, it's like, you got your clear cut board.
It was the most surprising thing the Giants have done. I don't want to say since when, but I will say since I started podcasting and since I started doing this whole thing in 2018, it was the most surprising thing that they have done. Just in general.
More than the Odell trade?
More than the Odell trade, yes. Because you can maybe even sense... I don't know if you could sense I was coming, but after it happened, it didn't surprise you. But even after they traded down, it still surprises me to this day that the Giants have two first-round draft picks next year. That still surprises me.
So, what's your official answer? I went Quiddy Pay.
I'm going JOK.
JOK. Okay. I can live with that. Now, people now would be like, well, he's a second rounder. I mean, even though at the time it was like people wanted him in like the top 15.
Yeah.
I was hoping Elijah Vera Tucker was going to fall. And as soon as the Jets traded up, I was like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. I know exactly what they're doing. And good on the Jets. Good on the Jets for that. All right, Justin, next question.
Next question comes from Brian Porras at BPorras1. Shouldn't we expect that even when Saquon's back on the field, his pass protection will still be subpar, given the focus on his injury rehab?
I will say, Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman weren't good blockers, so I don't think it's like a downgrade from what we had after Saquon went down. And a lot of Saquon's blocking issues are mental. You know, like it's like him just not picking up the right guy. Now, I know we can go back to clips of Jamal Adams, you know, taking advantage of him, even though he was on a bum ankle. So Saquon's blocking issues are issues because it's Saquon Barkley, if that makes sense. Like, do you understand what I'm saying with that? That if he was just your average run-of-the-mill running back, I don't think we'd ever talk about his blocking ability. I think it's because Saquon is so great at everything else that he's not good in that area, and it's like kind of the, you know, you have higher expectations for Saquon to not have any bad parts of his game, and that hasn't been a good part right now.
I'm never expecting Saquon Barkley's pass blocking to be a plus. And who's pass blocking do you really point out, unless you're like a film junkie or else you're like, unless you're really getting into it, right? Who's pointing out the game day, unless there's a blitzing linebacker? Who's pointing out, oh yeah, really good block there by the running back? Once in a blue moon. So, and I agree with you, because it's Saquon.
Maurice Jones-Drew lighting up Sean Marin is a highlight I'll always remember.
There you go. Well, when it so happens,
my last running back blocking play was 20 years ago, essentially. Edgerrin James, I just remember as a young fan, everyone like, Edgerrin James is a real good blocker. But I will say this. Use Saquon as a receiver, not a blocker. Now, I know there's times on third down when you have to, you know, keep your running back in the block. But use that dude as a receiver, man. That's how you get less field blitzing, put him on different routes, angle routes, wheel routes. I was watching the Baltimore game today because I was specifically watching Daniel Jones in that game. Man, he was really going through his progressions and figuring out when, like, he was diagnosing a Baltimore defense that was throwing a ton of crap at him. Like, that game is what gives me hope for Jason Garrett in this offense. Because if we had the personnel that we had now for that game, I think we would have at least competed in that game. Because that was a game where Garrett wasn't perfect. The first play was sticks and almost got intercepted, which was like the corner jump, like, broke on the slant before Darius Slayton even started the slant. Like, as soon as Jones turned his head, he just like, all right, this a slant's coming. But nonetheless, like, we had no fear of, you know, getting killed on a go ball. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is that game, they opened it up a little more. And Jones was, my point, it was Jones was getting to back to down to the running back when he needed to.
Mm.
And with space, you know, where Alfred Morris could get a little yak. Well, you know, Wayne Gallman, Deion, whoever. Could get some yak, so use him more as a receiver as the blocker. I know there's times where you have to, you know, when it's a third and 11, but when you have third and four, I don't really want Saquon blocking. I want them having to account for Saquon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you need to make it part of Daniel Jones's game too. If this is an area where he does need to improve, and even Dan Schneier's talked about this too. He's come on here and he's talked about this a little too. If Daniel Jones does need to improve his processing and how he goes through his progressions, getting to the running back, especially when your running back is as deadly as Saquon Barkley, getting the ball in his hands so he has the opportunity to create the yards after the catch and the yards after contact, that needs to be a priority this year, more than having Saquon Barkley being a really good blocker. I don't ever think it's going to be a plus part of his game, but the way that you reverse it is you don't ask him to do it that much, and you put the ball in his hands more, which is a good thing.
Right.
So, there you go. All right, next is coming from Frank the Tank, RomoCop74. What's one player that probably isn't going to make the team that you really want to make the team? For me, it's easily David Sills.
David Sills is a good candidate, and Frank the Tank is the person who turned me on to David Sills in the end of the 2019 season. I think mine, you just go to my 53-man roster episode, and who did I have the hardest time letting go?
R.J. McIntosh.
It's easily R.J. McIntosh because I know that he belongs on an NFL roster, and there's probably 31 other NFL teams where he does make the roster, but he just happens to be on a team with, you know, essentially a top three defensive tackle group in the NFL.
there's probably going to be a player that is cut that we fully 100% do not expect. And I don't even want to put the energy out there of names.
Caden Smith.
You know what? I did put him down as a guy that I don't want to cut. However, Bobby, he's too important. And this is a bit of a hot take. I think Caden Smith is the reason why our run game got its crap together last year. That play where he would be the lead blocker.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call it, trap play, counter play, Wham whatever. Blocks. I don't know what you call it.
Wham blocks. He lead blocked on some plays. Yeah, he was like you know, when teams were going away from the fullback and they're like, you can get your tight end to block, what they envisioned was Caden Smith. And Caden Smith did a good job with that. I think he did screw up on some max protect plays, which got the QB killed. So there might be some mental stuff there. But yeah, I would Caden Smith is the cut that could happen that would piss me off more than anything, more than O'Shane. Like that would piss me off because I'm a Caden Smith truther. I believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like this guy, you know, we got him from nothing. Anytime that we kind of did give him an opportunity, you know, maybe besides the pass blocking, but anytime that he has gotten an opportunity, he's done well. And even when he got a little bit of volume in 2019, he did well. You know, this is a guy that's still young, unlike Toy Lolo, who has been through the run of the mill with a few NFL teams. And what I think we've already seen the most upside that Levine Toy Lolo can give you, but I don't know if we've seen the most upside that Caden Smith can give you. So let's try to keep this guy around. So
I love Caden. Remember our tight end review? I was like, this guy could be tight end one. Like, hey, most yak per catch for the New York Giants in 2020. Yes. Caden Smith.
I also put down Raymond Johnson, John Ross, and Carter Coughlin.
Yeah, those could be them. RJ McIntosh would be the one because it's like I feel like emotionally attached to RJ McIntosh.
Yeah.
David Sills would be one, but it's not as sad for me because I like all the receivers that are there.
Yeah, was I wrong when I said when we were doing our 53-man roster prediction, was I wrong by saying that the Giants didn't really use their wide receiver five as a special teams player at all? Because I've seen some research Rick has put out.
I don't look at the people's special team snaps. I don't. I'm sorry.
You have to. When you're like projecting the 53, I feel like you kind of have to, which stinks.
Well, don't say Pettis play special teams, so.
Yeah. I can see I can easily see John Ross being cut, and then a lot of people getting upset with that. I would be a little. I wouldn't be upset. I'd just be like, damn.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted him. Because we were excited about the signing. John Ross was signed before Kenny Galladay.
He was our first real signing, really.
He was, yeah. All right, we ready to...
was actually, never mind.
Yeah, that's tough. Don't break that up. You want to move on?
Yep, next question.
Wes Locke at Wessie Westicles, which Wes has been asking us questions for a long time, and I never knew that was his handle, or he changed it. It's very funny. At Wessie Westicles. What do you think will be the biggest storyline of camp? What is the storyline of camp that the national media will focus on? The biggest one that the national media will focus on is whatever shenanigans Joe Judge has these guys doing again. That's definitely number one. And when is Saquon going to come back?
That's what I was going to say, is I think it's going to be Saquon.
Yeah.
I really do think it's going to be like, how does Saquon look? What was his... Like, I think that's going to be what every beat reporter is going to be talking about, what Giants fans are going to be wondering. What did Saquon do today? What was he doing? And I really, because Jones, you're not going to get any talking points from Jones out of camp. You know, it's like him being good in camp, like, doesn't mean anything. Him being, if he was, like, wretched in camp, that could be something. But, you know, I just don't see that happening. You know what was funny last year was, because, you know, our thoughts on the team were the offense could, you know, score some points. Can the defense, you know, be okay? Can the defense, you know, not be a nosebleed? Remember all the clips of, like, the Giants getting deep balls over James Bradberry? And the worry was like, oh, man, James Bradberry. It's like, seems like every day we have a clip of James Bradberry getting beat deep.
Yep.
It's like, that was the exact opposite of how real life went. James Bradberry never got beat, and we never completed deep passes. or at least not.
I don't want the Giants account to show a single deep pass this year, because I get excited by it every year. I get it. Oh, Eli's arm looks really good this year.
I love them.
Eli's arm looks really good.
I love them.
And it's like,
Eli's arm always looks good. I think it's going to be Saquon.
I would agree. And I really, whatever shenanigans Joe Judge has these guys doing, like, it was primetime television last year when there was, like, limited access. And now that, you know, I don't know if the axis is going to change or whatever, but now that the world is a little bit more normal, the cameras are going to be on Giants training camp because of that last year.
I can't wait to hear him cuss people out.
Oh, yes. Oh, I cannot tell you how pumped I am for that, for Joe Judge eviscerating people. Oh, man, that's football. It'll bring me back to my childhood when I was eviscerated.
You know, right. Here's something funny. I'll tell a football story.
Sure.
And this kind of shows how my parents were. So it's the last day of training camp in high school, and we would stay there for the week. You know, it wasn't like you go home. Like it was like legit training camp, and it was so hot. Like, I mean, like we're going, like this is the last day. It's a Saturday morning practice. We're going home that day, and it was just miserable. And my best friend, who was a wide receiver, he catches a pass, and I'm running down the field. And I mean, he just runs over this kid. Just totally runs over. And I just let out. And we're you know, there was cursing in practice, but it was like, you know, let's relax. You know, you got, you know, staff from the school listening and stuff. Like, you know, the coaches were, when you were talking with them, you could cuss. But it's like, don't be letting the whole school hear and you cuss.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let out a... yeah, mother, and you know, my coach. So I had to do bear crawls.
Nice.
So my parents come to pick me up that day because it's the last day of camp. And he comes up, he's like, "I'll let you tell your parents what you did." And I just told my parents I got into a fight because my parents would rather me just get into a fight than be cursing at the top of my lungs for the entire school to hear.
Nice, good for you. That was smart.
Bear
crawls suck.
Yeah, not I fun. Found you figure out there's a way to cheat them. It's essentially you run bent over.
You'll have to show me that when you're up in Jersey.
For sure.
All right, next question. F. Rona at NY Giants Talk 3. F. Rona. Wonder if he's going to change his name.
It's been too long. If he changes it, I'll be pissed at this point.
You just got to keep it up there for life. Because I agree. F it till the day we die. Since your last time looking, what are your guys' thoughts on Aaron Robinson potentially starting in the slot? Between him and Darnay, who's better today? Who has more flaws, and who has the highest upside? Those are like three different good questions right there.
There's another question paired with it.
Oh, another question paired with that. And NFL Matt. Matt, at NFL Fan Matt. Are we overlooking Aaron Robinson as more than just a slot corner? I read pre-draft that he played slot in UCF system simply because their defensive scheme didn't support the slot cornerback as much. Sort of like... you need the least help, you handle the slot.
Okay, so let's answer that question first. I do think Aaron Robinson was drafted to play slot corner, play, you know, press man slot corner. But he could play outside. I can see him playing outside. I don't think that's the plan. You got James Bradbury, you got Adoree Jackson, you got Yadoma as that, you know, that backup. I don't think that's the plan. But he could, where I don't think Darnay Holmes could. So the next part of the question is, who do you think is going to win that? I really think Darnay Holmes is going to win that. I think he's the better corner right now. And Aaron Robinson is that press man corner, where press man corners sometimes have a hard time adjusting to the NFL right away. You know, so I don't have – my expectations for Aaron Robinson to start out are not, like, super high. Like, I'm not expecting him to come out there and do anything. If he goes out there and beats Darnay Holmes, good on him. But I'm not expecting it. Because I like Darnay. And Darnay's more of a technical player. But at the same time, Darnay, if you put him in man coverage against, you know, a bigger wide receiver, and they have big slots nowadays, and even outside receivers lining up on the inside at times, he will struggle. And that's why I was very big last offseason and Darnay Holmes is a slot corner. I know he played outside in college, but he's a slot corner in the NFL. Watch the Washington State game. He got bodied in that game because he just wasn't able to compete with that size and was getting, you know, stacked like crazy and giving up touchdowns. So I do think Darnay Holmes is going to win that job. But I agree that Aaron Robinson can play outside and he has the skills to play outside, but I think he was brought here to play nickel.
So between Robinson and Darnay, who's better today? I say Darnay Holmes. You also agree? Yes.
Yes.
Who has more flaws? I say Aaron Robinson has more flaws simply because, and this is my personal bias, of just not trusting NFL rookie corners. Like, until I can see it, until I can see you kind of run with the big boys and run with that speed of the game, I'm going to say Robinson has more flaws, and who has the highest upside. I do think Robinson just does have a higher upside, though.
Yes, because he can play man coverage. You know, right? Yes. I don't expect Darnay can against slot receivers, but I just don't, you know, Darnay has to show it first. Where Aaron Robinson, he is a man cover corner. Yeah. Now Darnay can be that, you know, watch him against Hollywood Brown at Oklahoma. And that was the film that got me so excited for the guy. But you know, Aaron Robinson, they traded up, they drafted him higher. So obviously they got to have some higher, there's a reason for that. So, I think it's, you know, it's the second most intriguing camp out of me.
Yes. And I genuinely hope that they split time this year. And
actually, it's the most intriguing because the one I was going to say, you rotate guys like crazy. So it is the most intriguing camp battle for me.
Yeah. And I genuinely hope that they do split time because in a way, Aaron Robinson has the best, kind of has a very pretty solid rookie scenario coming in where he's not going to be forced into action day one. He's going to get his reps. He's going to get his reps, in-game reps, where the Giants feel like they can mostly maximize him and mostly feel like where he can be good. So maybe they're going to have him be a little bit more aggressive and press man, and then they're going to leave Darnay Holmes to be like the primarily the zone slot corner, right? He's in an optimal spot to be a cornerback where you can learn while getting those mental reps, you can learn while also getting those physical reps, and then you can rewatch what you did. Hey, coach, what did I do wrong? And everything like that, where he's not going to be thrown into the fire, so then his confidence is down the drain year one. I think he's in the optimal spot to really develop as a corner, which I really love that. So good for the Giants continuing to develop their secondary guys. We ready to move on?
Next question.
Jeff Boyd.
Boyd!
At the Boyd Wonder. What are the plans for you guys going to training camp? It's funny, I was talking about
I forgot to say Duke Gang to Brian Porras.
Ah, Duke Gang. Sorry, Brian Porras. But I was talking about this with some of our other people that run our company today, Bobby Skinner. So what are our plans for training camp?
So we can't give you anything concrete until the dates are set when people can come. You know, which if they're going to be there at any, I do think there will be. I mean, especially with the new, you know, the new notice that they're not even going to ask for, you know, vaccination or negative tests for games. So I'm pretty confident we're going to get to go there. As long as Judge lets us in, you know, that could be a judge call. That could be a judge thing we don't know about yet, is him not wanting fans there a ton. But that, I can also see the Giants being a team that's always let their fans come to training camp. So we're waiting on that. And then once that happens, we have to put together a sponsor for the trip.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, so like, you know, well, it, you know, we need, you know, for my travel, for my stay. So if you, hey, we do episodes every day, you know, we have, that's when player profiles and projections, you know, so 3 days a week, those are the, you know, we have those episodes and then two regular episodes. So if you got someone who wants to like sponsor those and pay for our trips and stuff, email, DM me and I'll give you the email. I'm not going to put the email over here. So if you think it makes sense for you, so that, and then, so we're just going to be there. We're going to be at the thing, doing the thing. Making videos, making content.
Want to record some live shows with MetLife as like a backdrop. I think that would be really, really sick.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a meetup. I don't think we're going to do like a live show with people there and stuff somewhere.
Right.
But we do want to do like a meetup where it's like, you know, come hang out and, you know, we'll watch baseball or something. I don't know.
Oh, baseball, fun. We may go to a Yankee game. You expressed interest in that.
Yeah, we'll be doing some other stuff besides, you know, just our Giants stuff too, you know, and, you know, making fools out of ourselves.
I also have a desire to like go to a local high school and to like do things and try to be football players again.
I'm clipping that one.
and do things.
Maybe with Richie we can go. We can just go do something with those guys.
Who? Oh, Rich Soybert. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we can do something like that.
All right. You ready for next question? We'll talk more as it comes to fruition.
Next question. Can I read the ad?
Yes.
Do you have the ad pulled up?
No.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. Just freaking listen. Listeners don't listen enough, dang it. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. Didn't I tell y'all last time to bet on the Nets? Did you? That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. People had the nerve to trash talk Kevin Durant. Say the nerve. Carry. The nerve. Pathetic. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code JOHNBOY for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana. 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
All right, next question, Bobby Skinner. Next question. It's coming from Paul Nonus. What's our upset game this year? Call me crazy. Call me maybe. I added the call me maybe part. But I think our defense can shut down the Chiefs the same way the Bucks did in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go first. I haven't gone first yet. We're beating the Bucks this year. I don't care what anybody says. We're beating the Bucks. I feel good. I think if there's a game where Patrick Graham's just going to go crazy, he's going to match that crazy insanity, wacko energy of another defense coordinator. It's going to be Todd Bowles. He's going to match it. And Tom Brady's going to be obliterated.
I too am thinking the Bucks. I don't think it's going to be the Chiefs. The Bucks beat the Chiefs is a different way than the way the Giants play their defense. I really do. And then what other team is like a big upset on our schedule anyways? Like the Rams? I just think we're going to beat the Bucks. I don't know why. I just have a feeling we are going to beat the Bucks. It's Monday Night Football in Tampa. Daniel Jones' redemption from Monday Night Football in Tampa last year. The game where he won his first game. So Daniel Jones is going to show out, and our defense is going to – I have a superior – what's the word?
Superiority.
A superiority complex
sure, over
Tom Brady.
Oh, shucks.
Like, I just I'm better than Tom Brady. Like, as a New York Giants fan, I am better than him. Like, we are your daddy.
Yeah.
So it's for Tampa.
Tampa for me, too. Tough road schedule though. What's another team that's tough on the road that on top of your head besides Chiefs?
New Orleans. Well, they have bad quarterbacks.
Good team, good roster.
But bad
in New Orleans, tough. We're gonna beat the Bucks. I don't care. All right. Next question. Pete in Long Island, Peter Jones 51. Top 5 Giants that never reached their full potential with the Giants.
All right, we can spend a million hours on this. I'm going to throw one at you.
Sure.
Romeo Okorah.
Yes.
Said 19 sacks in the last 3 years. A 10-sack season, a 7.5-sack season. With us, he had one.
That's the organization's fault, by the way.
How?
They let him go. Dave Gettleman let him go.
But how come he sucked before? And he all of a sudden he leaves suck. And he's good.
He didn't suck. He had one sack. He filled in well when JPP was hurt during 2016. He showed out on Sunday Night Football. Had a really good game 2016.
Had one sack in 2 years.
How many reps did he get?
I don't know. But
it's tough in the 4-3 system. It's tough. I have two. I have two secondary guys.
Go.
Will Hill. You know I love me some Will Hill. And Terrell Thomas. Terrell Thomas was going to be here for a long time.
I like Terrell Thomas.
Stupid preseason game.
Is David Wilson fair to say?
Yes. Voice crack. Yes. David Wilson is 100% fair to say. He was starting to get his momentum going a little bit.
David Wilson has been getting a lot of love lately, too, by the way.
He has.
Like,
good for him.
Even from the Giants' main account, which is like that's kind of surprising.
All right, so good for David Wilson. We just put out four. Well, who's the fifth one?
Ramses Barden, does he count?
No, I don't even think he was good to begin with, to be honest.
I loved Ramses Barden, but he looked good in the preseason.
But he was big.
Like, I mean, we all love Ramses Barden. Here, I have a current giant.
Sure.
Evan Engram.
Yes, that's we will probably be looking back 10 years from now saying yes.
Or I could just feel my emotions right now and say yes.
True. He's going to have a bounce back year, though, Evan Engram.
Danny Cannell?
Danny Cannell.
I'm just throwing
names. Devon Kennard?
I'm just throwing names out from the 90s to sound more smarter. Actually, that's it. Ron Dane.
Ron Dane wasn't good. He was fat.
He was a Heisman Trophy winner.
He wasn't good. He was fat.
Heisman Trophy winner. All right, next question. Now you
Tiki Barber never reached his potential. Shame he didn't win the Super Bowl, Tiki Barber. Eric Feldman. With the wealth of return man experience now on the roster, who are your front runners for punt and kick return people?
Punt return, I want Kadarius Toney back there. We have shown no fear of putting starters back there or big-time players.
I disagree.
Kadarius Toney. Kick return, Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis, we need him. We need him to play special teams. I want him on the roster. I like Dante Pettis. I won't say I'm a big Dante Pettis fan, but I like Dante Pettis. So Dante Pettis or John Ross.
You don't think that kick returners don't need to be somewhat big enough where they go flying 10 yards if they're too small?
Nope. Trenton Holliday was one of the best kick returners of all time. Why did we not keep him?
Good question.
This guy's an amazing kick returner.
I want Jabril Peppers returning punts.
That's going to make a lot of people hate that Jabril Peppers returns punts.
I love it because I think it's a lot less risky than returning kicks.
He did get injured on one, though.
Jabril Peppers did?
For Chicago last year, or 2019.
Well, then it makes the contract decision a lot easier.
Both of his injuries have been on special teams. One was on field goal block, which is all, there's no field goal block team. Your defensive starters just stand out there.
I think you're more likely to get hurt on a punt return than a kick return. I mean, that's at least my simpleton thinking because you're not running.
Any analytics for that stat boy?
No, I'm a simpleton Justin over the offseason. I start getting into analytics during the regular season. So Peppers with the punts because
why not
he's
Toney?
He's a gamer. It's because I'm biased towards my New Jersey athletes, all right? I saw Peppers do it in high school, and he could still do it. Michigan, he was doing it. I think he could still do it. Maybe he could teach Kadarius Toney a thing or two with the ball in his hands. And then kick return. Doesn't Holmes have experience? Holmes has some. They were making Holmes catch some punts and kicks. Holmes, and honestly, for kick return, I want a random body out there. I don't want anybody significant returning.
Corey Clement.
Take a knee every single time.
Corey Clement. No, screw. Oh.
Give me free 25 yards
every
single time.
Take it out every single time.
No.
No. Next question.
Next year ahead ago. Funny name. At @S_C1313. What was the worst or weirdest dream you guys ever had? I was not prepared for this.
You should. I bet you I'll top you with worst dream.
I bet you will.
I had a dream my dad died.
Yeah, that is strange. Yep.
Worst. That's not like the strangest. It's just the worst.
Wasn't the question what was the worst? Oh, I guess that is the worst.
Can you top that?
I honestly can't remember specific dreams that I had.
Me either, but I do remember that dream.
I've probably relived memories. I've had a house fire. I've probably relived that. So you want to know what that, there you go. My house is on fire. That's my dad
set his house on fire.
Really? Intentionally?
No.
Insurance?
No, he was like a kid in New Jersey.
Oh, tough. I did not intentionally set my house on fire, so I was very sad.
That's what someone who set their house on fire intentionally would say.
True. All right, Deke Ty. I'm not putting this question on anything. Deke Ty. Top five holidays. Yes, the first Sunday in September is a holiday. I counted it because he said it counted.
Yeah, if he says it counts, Number one for me is 4th of July, which I'm very excited for. Yeah, I love the 4th of July. It's my, you have the beach, fireworks, good, like, random, like, the hot dog contest is a great event. So I'll save some of my talking 4th of July talking points for the 4th of July mailbag. But 4th of July is my one. What's your one?
New Year's.
Lame. Number two. Yeah. I did say the opening Sunday of the NFL.
I also said first NFL Sunday, number two.
Okay. Number three, I have Thanksgiving.
Number three, I also have Thanksgiving.
Okay. Number four, I have draft day.
Ooh, number four, I have 4th of July.
Four on the 4th is for the 4th.
Yep.
I have draft day. And number five, what do you have?
What do you think I have?
I have Passover.
I have Christmas. So tomato, tomato.
Not at all. So I have Passover five. All right. Next question.
Next question. We get to talk about our favorite player on planet Earth. And that favorite player is, and everybody else's favorite Pro Bowler from last year, Evan Engram. JTM asks, this is Joe
Moyo.
I'm going to say his last name. Moyo. Joe Moyo from Hoboken. Hoboken, New Jersey. Is the fact that Evan Engram spastically jumps up into the air, making it more difficult on himself every time he tries to catch a ball, the reason why he has so many drops? And then we have another question from Jake Brown.
I don't know if that correlates with drops. I tried finding some information. I couldn't. But I will say that Vernon Davis did the same thing, and it just, it gives you less chance to, like, it slows you down for no reason. So I'm sure it has something to do with it. I couldn't find anything concrete on it.
The only time that he did it last year that resulted in a turnover was the Eagles interception.
Did he jump for that?
Yeah.
Jumped for the Washington one that was on third down. That was, it's not a very well remembered one, but it was.
Yeah. But that the Eagles one, though, where he caught, not the drop, the one that he, the tip ball that was an interception. It was a fastball.
Oh.
He did that jumping thing. When did that start to become a talking point? I think that I...
From camp videos.
From camp videos. Not actually from, like, the regular season and film. I think people saw Evan Engram jumping to catch the ball, and I think, oh, that's why he's dropping the ball. And I don't really think that's the
case. I don't
know.
It could be. I tried finding information on it. I couldn't find anything.
All right, well, maybe don't do that so you can run with the ball after the catch.
I need, like, a wide receiver guy to explain it to me.
Yeah. Jake Brown. What are the chances the Giants trade Engram this year before he becomes a free agent and we essentially get nothing out of him? I would take a third-round pick. I know proven players are better than draft picks, but if he shows us nothing, I say try to trade him for a pick.
He's not going
to
get a third-round pick midseason, and the only way we're trading him midseason is if we suck. So I think the chances that we trade him are very unlikely.
I
think they're
going to
try and bring him back, and he shouldn't be an expensive player. So maybe I could see him getting him on a fair deal.
He was a Pro Bowler, by the way.
I don't know what they're going to do, but they're not. If they wanted to trade him, it would have already happened by now, I believe.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Next question.
No, actually, Giants stories. Play the freaking music. Jabril Peppers has a new hobby, and it's bowling. He bowled a 206. Darnay Holmes and Austin Mack got a pedicure together, and then Austin Mack went to a minor league baseball game in Indiana. Tay Crowder had his youth football camp. Cullen Gillespie was at a Mets game, and he said he was supporting Frank the Tank. Austin Johnson was in Hawaii, but he wasn't the only defensive tackle on the Giants in the state. Leonard Williams was there, spearfishing, having himself a good time. BJ Hill was at the gun range, and Sterling Shepard was golfing. Light week, Justin. What piqued your interest? I already know.
Love you. That Cullen Gillespie was there supporting Frank the Tank. Love that.
Yeah, Rick the Tank, he's crazy.
I love him. I absolutely love him with all my heart.
I need to watch some more of his stuff. I just remember the chairs that ran, and then Pat Regazzo does the podcast. Yes. I went on Rick the Tank's podcast, by the way.
And you don't really know of him? You don't love him with all your heart?
Well, here's the thing is the experience on the podcast, like, he was like, he just, like, read off the questions and, like, wasn't interacting, really.
Oh, yeah, that's because he's a stone-cold killer.
Yeah, and it was, like it was...
Who the hell is this Bobby
Skinner guy? I felt bad because I underperformed. It was in the... like it was. I think it was like during the 2019 preseason. I was on the Frankie thing, and there was a bunch of other people there. I think Pat's got it a little more like down pat now. No pun intended.
He probably got mad at Pat saying, "Why did you bring this bum onto my show?"
Probably did.
Sorry, Pat. We love you, Pat. Congrats again, Pat, for taking over the world.
Killing it.
Jabril Peppers. I'm gonna go bowling with Jabril Peppers. We're gonna set a date soon. Lodi Lanes. It's right by MetLife Stadium. So we're gonna do that soon. He's gonna beat me. I haven't bowled. I only bowled once in the last couple of years. He's gonna beat me.
Go bowling.
We could do that.
Just get kicked out of a bowling alley.
Good idea.
Not even joking.
That's it. That's all that piqued my interest. All right. Hawaii. Everybody's in Hawaii. That's cool.
Yeah. Next question.
Jack. Jack Romano 2. Why can't you use your connections to start up a new uniform demand throughout the community and force the Giants to revert back to their 80s uniforms?
Can I say something? Since we are on a podcast.
Yeah.
I am very happy with the current uniforms. I think if we had the old uniforms, people would see the designs now and be clamoring for them. I just think people are like, just don't like, they like, they don't like, it's just kind of like, oh, we want something different. Give me something. I am very happy with our uniform. We won 2 Super Bowls in those white jerseys. I like the white jerseys. Like, I like them more than the blue, to be honest. And it's like, you know, people always say, oh, I hate the reds because we lost in them. Have we won a game in the current throwbacks? No. We have not. We have lost every single one of those games. I like using those alternates. I would be cool with the red alternates too. I like those. It just seemed like everyone that was cool had a red Plaxico jersey.
Yep.
Like that I had was a red the only
Eli.
One.
Yeah.
But it's like everyone had themselves a nice red Plax jersey. It was just like it was like cool.
I had a red Eli and a red, even though Bradshaw never, I don't think Bradshaw ever wore red, but I had a red Bradshaw jersey too.
Nice.
Don't know why. I love the white pants. I think when they made the full-time move to go to the white pants, I think they look clean. I think the gray pants, especially the gray pants at home, I think they add about 20 pounds to your ass. So, I like the white pants. They're clean, they're sleek. Especially at
those
night.
Red stripes. Like, I like them way better than the early 2000s, late 90s white jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, like, 100%. It's like, we won 2 Super Bowls in those jerseys, man. They're iconic. Like, if we go to the Super Bowl again, I think Daniel Jones looks better in the white jerseys than the blue ones, too. So I like the jerseys. I know people
want, I think people just want to go back to the old logo. And honestly, I don't want to go back to the old logo. Because if we go back to the old logo, then possibly our logo has a problem. Yeah. And I don't want that. So think of it like that. Think about it like that. No copyright issues, please.
We should get a talking Giants helmet.
You know what? We could very well make that happen, and that is a lot easier than you would think.
All right, make it happen then, Justin.
I'll make it happen.
All right, next question.
Next question is from Joe Dog. What game are you most excited for? Also, what player are you most excited to watch? Talking Giants versus the world. Thank you. Joe,
where's the whole damn world? The Broncos, man. Like, I know it's. I think that game means a lot. Let's start. I am so excited for the Broncos game. Should I say the Jets in the preseason? That honestly might be the real answer.
Yes. Honestly, the most exciting game is the next game. Not to be cliche, but the Jets. Imagine how just that is going to be such a fun atmosphere. I hope the stadium's going to be packed for it. You know, because it's. I know it's a preseason game, but I hope it's the first game back. You know, there's Jets fans in the area. There's Giants fans in the area. Jets fans are going to want to see Zach Wilson. Giants, it's going to be a Giants home game, so the Giants home fans are going to have their first digs and they're going to have their first rights at their tickets. And everybody's going to want to root for the Giants. Everybody's going to want to root for the Jets. That it's going to be a very, very exciting atmosphere.
I forgot Zach Wilson. That's going to be his first action.
Yeah.
So we got our first. James Jones got his first action versus the Jets. Their QB gets their first versus us. Let's make it the opposite of what Daniel Jones felt, where he, like, I mean, that first preseason game was so much fun. And then the rain came down, and the floods came up.
Yeah, that game was delayed.
Yep.
Yeah,
it
was there.
And then player, Kenny Golladay, man. Like, let's see how we're, let's see it, man. Like, what player could you be more excited to watch than Kenny Golladay? Unless it's Daniel Jones, Saquon, maybe? I guess Saquon.
But we've been literally comparing Kenny Golladay to Plaxico Burress. And, you know, just, you know, doing Bleeding Blue this offseason and having some opportunity to reflect on the importance of Plaxico and during, you know, that 07 Super Bowl run and even going towards, you know, 2008 and seeing the impact of Plaxico Burress when he was gone and when it was his fault, but when he was gone, seeing the impact that had on the team. You know, we are literally comparing this signing to that. And it's not a stretch. I don't think it is a stretch. I think even a lot of NFL people would compare the Galladay signing to Plaxico. So it's like, let's see it.
Yeah.
You know, let's see it, man. You know, I feel like we're not even talking about him enough because it's just like, man, you know, I feel like we're talking about this guy and that his only, like, good potential that he has, and very good potential, is him going up and catching a deep ball in, like, a contested catch situation. But he can kind of do a lot of other stuff, and that makes me excited, too.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Saquon could be a good answer. Aziz Ojulari would be one for me. Like, I'm excited to see how he is from day one. Like, is he going to be a good pass rusher from day one?
So young, 21.
Yeah.
He's younger than
Happy
me.
Birthday.
He's 2 years younger than
birthday,
me.
Happy birthday, Aziz.
Yes, it was his birthday recently.
That freaking little dweeb, Aziz Ojulari. Just kidding. All right, next question.
Porky Blunders, what's your go-to pizza place in the city?
I don't have one in the city. Like, we just literally stopped at, like, a random pizza place. I can't even remember the name of it when I was in New York City.
Sbarro's?
No, we didn't do all that, no. But it was a random, like, let's just find a random place and go.
It's one of the funniest scenes in The Office.
It really is.
Yeah, this is
a New York
this
slice.
Is my New York pizza slice. My New York slice. Yeah, I don't really go to the city. I know John's Pizzeria is in Jersey City, and then it's also in New York City as well. I know a couple years ago it was the largest pizzeria in the world. I don't know if it still is, John's Pizzeria in Manhattan, New York City. But it's also in Jersey City. I like it. And then, yeah, so that's my
Tony's
in
Indian Harbor Beach.
There you go. Okay.
Tell me your best pizza places in Brooklyn, because I'm going. I thought I wasn't going to go to Brooklyn because of the Nets, and then now
you're
going. Now I am.
We're coming.
So let me know the best ones in Brooklyn. I like Giovanni's when I stayed in the Bronx. We ate there a few times. But Tony's in Indian Harbor Beach. Their white pizza is the best. All right, next question.
All right, next question is from Tim the Giant's Good Yet. This question is for you, Bobby, because he respects your football opinion more, which is really a shot to me. But what are your thoughts on Jacob Eason?
I can't believe you don't understand this question.
I don't. I really don't.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Tim in Florida. This question's for Paul because I just have a little more respect for him. What are your thoughts on Jake Fromm?
Now you see me being a pretentious little emotional biatch that I am. I took it seriously and I responded to him. I said, wow. I thought he was being serious.
Nope. Which I was thinking about for the 4th of July mailbag.
Good for Tim.
Me doing a nice prank call and playing it on that episode.
You're going to prank me? Is that what you're going to do?
No, I'm going to prank call a show.
Oh.
And then we'll play it for the 4th of July mailbag episode.
It would be very easy to prank me if you want to do that.
Well,
I'm
it's
very
just
gullible.
Kind of a tradition to prank a certain show on this podcast.
That is true. That is true.
So I've been trying to think of good ways to get them.
You have any thoughts on Jacob Eason?
See, the Jake Fromm, the reason that was relevant is because you were, like, talking about how great you were, like, how much you liked Jake Fromm, and that's, like, when he, like, it was 2 days after he got heat, and some heat during
he got caught saying something not correct.
And so you didn't realize good. That, and I was like, and you're like, nope. Oh, I love Jake Fromm, big fan.
Yeah, love the brain, loves processing.
So
it's a bad arm strength.
I'm gonna get something out of them. So, you know, hopefully we have that for the 4th of July mailbag. Which, by the way, we had Leon from, I think, Germany, who had a really good question, which I'm saving for the 4th of July mailbag pod. It's like, you know, draft, like, who would be your basketball players for the New York Giants. So, we're actually going to change that and actually draft them. Myself, you, and Danny. And I'll put together some guidelines for that question.
Lovely. All right, final question. Matt Anderson. Do you think it would be possible for someone to come up with an offense based around the lateral pass rule, like if you practice it a ton? Could a team just lateral the ball all over the field and catch defenses out of position enough to put up a bunch of points?
You can't build an offensive around it. It would lead to turnovers. But I wouldn't mind an offensive coordinator being like, "Hey, once a game, let's have a goal to do this once a game. Like, you catch the ball in space, run behind him, look for a lateral. Like, just look for it." Could lead to some, like, it could lead to a lot, like, you know, like, I love Ed Reed's one of my favorite players of all time. What did he do every time he intercepted the ball?
Ran backwards.
He's like, if I'm being tackled, I'm throwing this ball backwards at somebody.
Oh, yes.
We scored a touchdown in college like that, where our safety intercepted the ball, was being tackled, and he just chest passed it to another safety, and he ran it back for a touchdown.
I like those plays on special teams. That would be fun if we can do it on special teams.
Statue of Liberty plays another play. It's hook and ladder. You know, I remember Boise State did that. And that's in our high school, our trick play for hook and ladder was called Boise. So how about that? But you couldn't build an offense around it. It'd be too much. You would have Matt guys not focusing on the fundamentals. You know, they would be not thinking about catching the ball. It would be like, all right, like, it's just, and defenses would counter it with like, try and get some turnovers out of this.
No offensive linemen, just 11 skill position players. And Matt's going to have these guys go bananas.
Oh, no offensive linemen? Well, you technically have to have 5 offensive linemen on the field.
Well, just put...
Because they got rid of that, the A-11. Did you ever hear about the A-11 offense in high school?
No.
It was, they had a center, a guard, and then they had everyone else as receivers, but you had to have 5 people who are not eligible receivers. And defenses, like, there's an offense in California, and it was just, they won state championships by it, and they outlawed it, where you can't run the A-11 offense. Either Harbaugh or Belichick ran it against each other in a playoff game like 5-6 years ago. I can't remember if it was, I think it might have been Belichick who did it, or, let me see, I'm going
to
Google.
Belichick had to do it. He had to one up Harbaugh.
Well, I remember John Harbaugh being mad at Belichick for like doing trick plays. Because like I remember the Julian Edelman. Yep, it was the Patriots.
There you go.
And I remember Jim Harbaugh was pretty mad. Yeah, Wikipedia, the A-11 offense. It's pretty interesting. So how about that? But it got banned in high school.
And like fun. Is that the show?
That's the show.
I gotta go. I got an interview to do.
I gotta get pumped for a freaking Nets Game 6 victory. So we appreciate you guys. Next week, what do we got for next week, Justin?
We're gonna be previewing some prospects of the 2022 draft class.
It's our way too early draft preview week next week. So on Tuesday we'll be doing the offense. We're gonna do 2 QBs. We got Sam Howell and Malik Willis on mm-hmm. it. And I think we got some interesting stuff on that and other players. Evan Neal, I'll tell you right now, he's my guy. And then obviously defenders on Friday. So we did it last year. It's how I found out about Chaz Surratt last year. So very exciting. You know, this is how you form draft crushes. I haven't found a draft crush quite yet. And I'm not going to force it. You know, it's one of those things, it just happens. So, all right, well, we will see you then on Tuesday. Enjoy your guys' weekend. Have a good one. Have some fun. And we're one way closer to the Giants football. We appreciate you guys. See you then. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.